Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. I talked last week about we started talking about Mary and the Immaculate Conception and what had taken place and all the things that went on, and I can't really go back over all that for time's sake this morning, but we talked about how nothing in life is going to be born in you unless you have a ground to have a seed planted in you. God wanted to plant a seed. He planted a seed in Mary that brought about the Savior of the world to us. And you know, I made the point last week that it seems very difficult. If I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. I'd have come back with the angels marching in legions and said, you know, everybody's going to shut up and submit whether you like it or not, or we'll cut your head off. Or, you know, this is the approach I would have taken, not to take the most innocent, vulnerable thing in the world as the seed of a human and the problems and all the things that went on, and a unwed mother, and, oh, man, there was just all kinds of political incorrectness that took place. But God knew what he was doing. Aren't you glad God knows what he's doing? Everybody say this morning, God knows what he's doing. Say it again. Say, God knows what he's doing. Look at the person beside you and say, he really does know what he's doing. He is a lot smarter than we are. He has got a lot of things figured out that we don't. And so this morning, I want to take it up from the point now that Mary and Joseph, the Christmas story, and now we see that the seed has been growing in Mary, and now it comes time to make delivery of this. And so let me start reading chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. Now this census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city." Now, I don't know about y'all. There's a few things I don't like in there. First thing is, I don't like taxation. I don't like the fact, if I'd have been Mary and Joseph, that you know, some guy, some Roman, comes up in there and is telling me what, you know, that we're going to be taxed, that I have to be inconvenienced to go back to my birthplace, the city where I was born, to go be taxed and registered. I don't like being registered. Counted for, numbered, you know. And he's telling you, you know, he's going to line everybody up, wants to know where everybody is, and, you know, and everybody's going to be taxed, right? Now, again, you see the vulnerableness that God put forth with Jesus inside of Mary to get on a donkey and travel all these miles to travel, you know, this dispute of whether, but it's somewhere you could have traveled, I want to just shoot an average of what everybody says, about 60 miles on a donkey. How many of you ladies that have been pregnant in life would have liked to got on a donkey close to the due date and rode a donkey, even a mile, even around the house? You know, it just don't work. So do you realize that Mary and Joseph could have just thrown down at any point and said, enough's enough, I'm not going through this, I'm not going to go any farther. God, I don't know what you're doing. This is just ridiculous. If you were in this, how could you be asking me to have to go and ride this donkey? If you were in here, I mean, translate me, Lord. If it's you, then translate me. If not, I'm not going. And then they'd have gotten in trouble and the Romans would have killed them, and that would have been the end of it, and Jesus would have never been born. You see, I believe God at this time of year really wants us to see, and what my message is to you this morning that I'm calling the real Christmas message is the birth of faith in us, is the real Christmas message. Because there was all these obstacles, all these things that could have prevented Mary from delivering Jesus in the place that he needed to be, but she needed to deliver him in Bethlehem, because that's what the scriptures had prophesied and said. And so to fulfill scripture, she had to be born there. Or Jesus had to be born there. She had to go. And in the middle of what the Romans were doing of trying to just register and tax all the people that were actually fulfilling scripture and didn't even know it. And sometimes in our lives, we don't understand what's going on and we don't understand the craziness that's going on. But God's asking us to step out in faith and to believe Him that in all that's taking place in life, that at the end of the road, you're going to be at the right place at the right time where you need to be. The very first thing I want you to see here this morning is that what's going on in the world doesn't affect the birth that's going on inside of you unless you let it. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we've been delivered from this world. We don't live in this world anymore. We've been delivered from, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're playing as Christians by a different set of rules. The king's on our side. Look at the person beside you and say, the king's on your side. We got a different set of rules. There's something happened. There's something that took place this time of year. A Savior was born into this world. Came into being to rescue us. And what this world wants to throw, though it does inconvenience you, though it does hinder you, though it does cost you, it can't stop the birth of what God's doing on the inside of you. Nothing can stop that. What Jesus has placed on the inside of you, it can't be destroyed unless you allow it to. Unless you become bitter and angry, unless you become hardened and callous, unless you begin to let what this world does affect you to such a degree that no longer can the birth take place in you. Our battle and our struggle isn't to get it all right. Our battle and struggle is to keep our hearts right. You know, I want to get mad at everybody and all this crazy this is going on. You can't say Merry Christmas anymore. And I want to just throw down and, you know, of course, heaven help me. My own thoughts are always violence at the first thing, you know. And I'm like, Jesus, that's really the Christmas spirit. But y'all know what I'm talking about. You get kind of frustrated with it all that you just can't walk around there anymore. And I mean, you can, we do, but I'm talking about that. Businesses, people, everybody's so worried about political correctness, not offending somebody to say Merry Christmas. And I, if you don't watch it, it ruins everything that's in faith in you. And we can't do that, church. We can't do that. There has to come a time in life where you just kind of have to say, well, if y'all going to go that direction, just go up, but just leave me alone because I'm going to go on enjoy life. And y'all go on over there and be miserable and just, you know, eat your curds and whey and just, you know, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Because that's not what He ever intended. Because see, you can see it right here in the story. The whole thing could have fallen apart if Mary and Joseph would have taken the wrong attitude. So don't let this time of year, don't let this come upon you that you start to lose faith in what you really truly believe in. Now's the time to hunker down and say, no, this is what we do. This is what we believe. I don't care. Listen, you can go on. I was infuriated the other night watching the news, of all things, local news. And trying to watch the weather to find out if it was going to rain so I could line up what was going to take place on what day. And, the weather forecaster began to tell us about the Big Bang Theory and all this kind of stuff like this. And I'm like, you guys, I pray he hears this. You guys can't even get the weather right. You know, I would just get on the phone and call Junction and say, hey, is it raining up there yet? You know, does it look like it's headed this way yet? And I could be more accurate than they are with millions of dollars worth of computerized equipment, and they can't tell me if it's going to rain or not. And then they keep getting paid for being wrong. And then I'm supposed to believe them that they know how the earth was created? Get out. And so I got it just enraged over this. And then I finally said, you know, what am I even talking about? Just be stupid. You're just showing yourself. You don't even know what, you know, just blah, blah, blah. And so at this time, we can't let it. We got to realize that what Jesus is birthing in us, the faith in us and what's going on in our lives. And don't let this world affect it. Don't let the world. That's what it wants to do is steal it from you. The story goes on and it says, so Joseph went up from Galilee, verse 4, out of the city. of Nazareth under Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the house and the lineage of David. Now, although this world inconveniences you, listen to me, you have to believe it's going to be to your advantage. Romans chapter 8 says, let me paraphrase this a little bit, but it says that all this inconvenience you have to walk through in life, all these things that affect you in life, okay, God will take it and work it around for your good or your advantage if you'll let him. I think our biggest problem is trying to get in there and fix it. And trying to make it work out. And if you just realize that the inconvenience can't take you out of the will of God, unless you get your, forget point one, and let it take you out because you harden your heart, you're going to win no matter what. You're going to win no matter what. The story goes on and says in verse 5, he seemed to be wretched to marry his betrothed wife who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for their delivery. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you know, a lot of times we have portrayed the Christmas story as this mean guy at the inn that threw him out. But literally, there just wasn't any place for him to stay. Everybody was the city was full. There was no place for him to go. Here again, do you realize the trouble that could have erupted right there? Wives, have you ever had your husband say, "Ah, that's okay. I mean, there'll be somewhere to stay. There'll be a motel. There'll be some vacancy somewhere on one of your trips." And then you know you went to the check into one, and then there wasn't one there. And then you know you made it through there, and you went to the next, and there wasn't one there. And they said, "Let's just travel to the next town; it'll be okay." And then you know, has this ever happened? You know, and then the few wives, you know, I know y'all godly women, you know, you would have just said, "Oh, blessed art thou, my husband, one who's given to me of the Lord. Grace and mercy be upon your head." I'm sure God is leading us to the manger somewhere. I've always desired to sleep with the animals and put my newborn baby in a manger. Right? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Here they are, man. I mean, they're going to the barn. Now, I mean, let's say the people there were very good barn keepers. But animals are not too tidy. And see, the point I'm trying to say, church, is we get this idea, we get these misconceptions in our mind of, you know, the glory shone down, whoa, over the manger, you know, and all the animals were, you know, holy and nothing happened and I mean, the Savior of the world is being born in a stable. And so, I want you to understand, you have to come to a place of faith and believing in God that no matter what, manure you may be walking through. How's that? Try to clean it up a little bit. In life, that God is going to take it and he's going to make that impossible situation possible. And though you can't see it, and though you can't see what's down the road, and though you don't understand how it's going to work out, and though your mind may be telling you, "Lord, look at me, I'm here in a stable." And you may want to freak out. You may say, "God's forsaken me. What's happening?" I'm here to tell you, he's not forsaken you. If he was going to have his own son born in a stable and had it under control, he's not really too concerned about you. He's got it under control. He's not worried. You're doing better than that. It's going to be okay. He's going to get you through it. He's got more to work with now than he had with then in that day. Are you hearing me? It's the story of Abraham and Isaac taking his son up into the mountain to make an offering for God. And surely Abraham at some point was thinking, okay, we've got everything, but we don't have the ram to make the sacrifice. And surely he had come, it had dawned on him when he left the house that they didn't bring a sheep with them. You'd have known if a sheep was following you. And he gets up there, and then it finally dawns on his son. Hey, Dad, we got wood, we got an altar, we got a knife, got no sheep. And he says, the Lord will provide. And then you know the story, and God spares Isaac, and there was a ram hung in the bush. The bushes, you know, had his horns hung in the bushes. And he says, there he is. And so they named the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. Listen to me, church. In this season, you got to be the believer that that Jehovah Jireh is still on the throne. And that no matter you look like you're in the poorest of places, you're really blessed. God's going to take you through no matter what is going to come out on the other end in victory. That he's Jehovah Jireh and he'll provide, and whatever's needed, it'll come. You just got to look. I got to tell you this story because it's just so funny to me. I had a trip I had to make last week, and I had to go over to Braunfels, and I drove over there. I was driving home, and it was late, and it was Wednesday, and I was coming back here to church, and I was running a little late and had to meet a guy. And man, I got this unbelievable, just overwhelming Holy Ghost anointed feeling that I need to stop and get a blizzard. I mean, it was like I could see it, taste it, man. It was like, whoa, with a Dairy Queen, you know? And so I was out over there by Pipe Creek driving down the road, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to pull in there right quick and, you know, get some ice cream. And I thought, no, you better not. You know, just be strong. Just withstand. You can do it. And then the other time he said, oh, no, it's God. And so I said, no. Okay. So I said, okay, Lord. Anyway, I had to make a phone call. And so I called this guy. At that moment, I'm trying to get my mind off the blizzard. And so I called this guy, and I said, I'm coming through town. You know, are you around? Yeah, you know, I need to get him a check. And I said, hey, where are you at? And he said, well, I'm right at the car wash, right by Dairy Queen. I said, ah, it's the Holy Ghost, my God. See, there's some things in life that, you know, you think it isn't going to work out, and God just makes it work out. I about talked myself out of that situation, about talked myself out of that blizzard, and there I had to meet the guy right in front of the sign. I said, yes, it's a sign and wonder and ice cream today. You don't know how things are going to work out. You try to figure it out in your mind, but I'm telling you, folks, God will make and take advantage of every impossible situation and make it come out. Amen? Goes on down here and he says, now there were at the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And they said, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all the people. Let me tell you something, church. I believe, now this is a Robert Richards, I can't prove this, but I believe that the only reason why the angels came to the shepherds in the field that night was because they were the only ones sitting around not doing anything. They were watching. I don't know that. I think everybody else was in the city busy in a hurry and mad and griping about taxations and registrations and inconveniences and who's going to get to sleep in what bed and where were they going to eat. And there was a food shortage in the town, and there was other guys thinking greedily about, hey, there's everybody's here. We're going to make some money. We're going to get this good. And I believe all the city was hustling and bustling because of what was going on, and everybody was just missing what was taking place. And it was the shepherds were the only ones sitting out in the fields. They were just having to watch the sheep to make sure nothing was happening. They couldn't go to town. It was their job, their responsibility. They were out there, and that was the only person that could experience the supernatural power of God that night because they were the only ones looking. The only ones looking. And don't get so caught up in this season. Don't get so caught up with all the hullabaloo going on that you begin to miss the supernatural things of God in your life that are right there, that wants to speak to you, wants to talk to you, wants to bless you, wants to encourage you, wants to help you in life because you're giving up because you're so caught up with the humdrum of life. Set aside some time. I encourage you, set aside some time to just wrap up in a blanket and go sit outside and look at the stars. To just go, if nothing else, and sit. And go find you a place where you can see a real pretty sunset. When my wife and I built our house, the one thing I told her, I said, I want a porch. And I want on the porch a rocking chair. And I want it to be facing to the west because I love to look at a sunset. And I want to be able to see it. So I cut the trees to where I could see a sunset so I can go sit out on my rocking chair and get a cup of coffee and look at the sun go down. And I love it. Other people like to see the sun come. I can't see the sun come up because I got a mountain behind me. And I don't see the sun coming up. I don't get to see the sun rise, but I get to see the sunsets. I want to tell you something, church. It's those times in life that you realize that God is in charge. I have to laugh. I'm not saying this is by my prayer. I'm not saying that. But, you know, in all this thing going on about climate, you know, the... Come on, what did he say? Thank you. Global warming. I get really frustrated with all that. And anyway, so I just kind of prayed. I said, God, you know, I don't believe that just my prayer did this. But I said, you know, why don't you just show them up in Washington that, you know, you're still in charge. And as I saw that snow just covering them up, I just started laughing, saying, yeah, good show, God, good show. He definitely showing them. It's really warmed up. Tropical heat wave up there. Yeah, buddy. Polar ice cap's going to melt in 5 years. All right. They're going to start in New York. They'll melt from up there and start right over New York. Folks, you just got to realize the awesomeness and the miraculous things of God. There's so many supernatural things take place and happen that every day, if you'll just look, if you'll just look to see it. The story goes on, and it says, I'll pick it back up in verse 10. It says, the angel said to him, behold, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is unto you born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Folks, listen to me. You have a Savior. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. You are not alone. You are not helpless. You are not a minuscule molecule on the face of the earth. It is not that you have, that you do not have any importance or any validity in this world. But I'm telling you, Jesus himself speaks to the Father over each and every one of y'all, each and every day. That is amazing. That when you could even muster up faith to pray, Jesus is praying for you. You say, oh, well, that's just a fairy tale. How could he pray for 6.8 million people or billion people? How did he make a world in 7 days? Does he know all the names of all the stars in heaven? How many of you right now could pull out your cell phone and just look at all the names that you have logged in your cell phone and you would know who everybody was in there? I have people in my cell phone address book. I don't know who they are. I have forgotten who this person was that I thought was in so important in my life at one time to put their name in there. Because see, I'm one of these guys that never delete. I'm the guy that's on Yahoo, you know, like on my personal email, I've got like, you know, 4,600 emails. I've never deleted one from the first day I opened up an account. Might need one someday, you know, I don't know. So I have phone numbers from things that I did years ago, met somebody that was going to do some job for me, and then they did it, and then they left, and I never used them again. And so I've got years worth of just data in here of names, and I come across people around that. So who is this person? I'm just glad heaven didn't operate that way, is my point. I'm glad Jesus didn't go through the list and say, I don't know, who's this? Anybody got to know who? Gabriel, you know who this guy is? Ask Michael, I don't know. But that he lives to make intercession for you every day. Every day he's calling out your name before Almighty God and the innumerable multitudes of angels because you have a Savior. See, folks, I don't understand how any person in life can make it without Jesus. I don't know how people can go through the hardships and the traumas and the trials that they do in life and not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, not to have a Jesus that you could turn to and know that he's praying for you. And then to know that he made it so simple that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in him, and he'll be your Savior. Not go through the, you know, the 97 laws of perfection that you have to obtain to get to this status, and then you could possibly be a part of that. And God might hear you, maybe. There's no religion on the face of the earth like Christianity, that God sent his son to this earth to die for us, to be a Savior. And that God made all the sacrifices on his part and put it out there on the table and said, all you have to do is believe in my son. There's no religion like that on the face of the earth. But God did it. Read on through the story. And he says, you'd find a babe lapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Heaven broke open that moment. I don't know how many, okay, a heavenly host is. But it's about to be a pretty good showing. Right? I wouldn't think it was one fat, dumpy angel flying around saying, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, you know. I think it's got to have been some sort of a pretty amazing, breathtaking thing to see the heavens open up and a heavenly host. You know, besides that, let me just back up. I just want to sit there because that's one of my little pet peeves. I everybody always puts these angels, you know, these little short, dumpy guys. And man, they doesn't say anything in the Bible about that. Man, these guys are warring angels. These guys are big angels. These guys are, whew. And the heavens open up with them all. They're flying around. They're singing. And they're not singing, you better do right, or we'll come and get you. You see, a lot of Christians today believe God's sitting on the throne, and you don't really want to make too much of a waves because he might see you, and then you're in trouble if he takes notice of you. Well, I'll tell myself my mother's sitting on the mother, put your fingers in your ears. It's like I have an older sister, so whenever we went out and got in trouble that night, we were coming home, I always wanted her to do something stupid so all attention would be focused upon her, not on me. And it usually worked. There's times in life you don't want attention focused on you, and a lot of Christians are living their life like that. Let's just don't rock the boat because God might see us, and then he'll examine us, and we're not living like we should, so then we're going to be in trouble. And I'm telling you, folks, that's not the way it is. The Bible says they were hollering and screaming, they were shouting and proclaiming, they were singing, they were whatever, that glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Now, if you go look at the word goodwill, it means God's will towards men. And so God's will towards men was peace. God's will towards men, the Bible tells us that not one of us would even have a tear. Because he says he wants it to be on earth like it is in heaven. Jesus himself said that. The thing is, God is not someone to run from. God is someone to run to. God is not someone that's angry and the mad old grumpy old man. The other day, we were going to decorate the Christmas tree at our house, and my grandson Holt says, come on, Baba, let's decorate the Christmas tree. And I said, I don't want to decorate the Christmas tree. And he says, you're bah humbug. You know, he's 4. And I was like, well, you're pretty smart, kid. He's not someone you want to run away from. He's not some grumpy old man. He's somebody you want to run to. He's somebody that cares so much for you, loves so much, and has peace towards you and wants to just embrace you and love you and walk with you and help you through everything that's going on in life. Tracy, would you flip up one scripture? Pick up 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And I want to end here. I want to stir your faith this morning going into the Christmas week. Because I want you to go sit in your families, with your families, or wherever you be and whatever you're going, wherever, whoever you're with, wherever you are, to sit down with faith in your heart and to have your hearts full of joy and peace and faith, and to know the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but it's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's for everybody, church. But he wants us to make a step towards him. That's all. Amen. So check your faith out. Check your believer out this week. Run off the darkness. Run off the oppression. Run off the discouragement with the good news. God's got peace towards you. God's got mercy towards you. God loves you and prays for you every day. Amen. Amen. Well, put your Bibles up, and if you would, stand to your feet. Let's just take a moment here before we're dismissed. I know I see some of y'all on Wednesday nights, but I know I'm probably not going to see most of you to next week, and I'm not going to see you through Christmas, and so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your time with your families. I want to believe God to just move heaven and earth for you this Christmas season. And so, let's just pray. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord and let's just pray. Father, right now, I just lift up each and every one of these people to you. Lord, they're so awesome. And I know how much you love them, Jesus. And in this season, Lord, we don't want the all the distractions of this world to come in and steal from us what the true meaning of Christmas is, Lord. To steal from us, Lord God, in our faith and our relationship with you. Father, we just stand here and we just ask you, Heavenly Father, that wherever we've been distracted, that, Lord, you'd get our attention right back where it needs to be. And wherever we've had doubts, Lord God, that today faith would rise in our hearts. Jesus, we trust you. And even if we feel like we're Mary on the back of a donkey on a long journey, Lord, I just believe you to show us that your hand is on us and that you're going to get us right where we need to be. Lord, I pray for each person here today that is there with family and friends. Lord God, that you would just move in their lives. Where there's family problems and wars and rumors of wars in families, Lord, you just move in those in the midst. And use us, Lord God, as your instruments. Jesus, today, put your hand upon each and every one of us. And Lord, lead us right to that place with you. Now, Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.